This is Xavier Leggett, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the epic Roster Watch podcast brought to you by RosterWatch.com. I'm Alex Dunlap here with the Trash Man and Cody Carpentier, as Cody and I are back from Detroit, Michigan. Thanks so much to the Podfather, Matt Kelly, for having us out, the whole player profiler crew. We hope you guys were able to tune in for, man, just live streaming every pick of the draft. And now we have to come home and get everything sorted out. We were trying to sort it out as the kind of the draft went on, and got the new Dynasty Rookie Cheat Sheet version 1.0 for traditional one quarterback Dynasty leagues, and also the other Super Flex and tight end premium sheet for those leagues. I know that we are all current, every single one of us. Well, I'm not sure, Trash Man, are you? I guess no, you are definitely live in at least one draft that I know right now. But we're all certainly in our rookie drafts right now. We're seeing how things happen with ADPs as they go. As we always note here at Roster Watch, remember that the cheat sheets are not necessarily rankings as much as leverage versus ADP. We'll have a conversation today about how we see the guys going through the top, you know, top round, top two rounds, what we've noticed so far, trades we've tried to make, you know, picks that we tried to maybe get off and move down to, you know, possibly leverage moving up trade partners to get them moved up to spots that we don't find as appealing, where we feel like we can get a couple, you know, other good pieces later. So I guess I'll just start out with this, and Cody, I'll throw it to you first. So what I've noticed so far is that in Superflex, for one, Marvin Harrison goes ahead of Caleb Williams, and I wasn't really anticipating that, but I've done now so it's my third one since the draft. All three of them I've been in, and these are against industry guys, like guys that people would know, you know, like, I'm not saying that these are the ones who made the picks or whatever, but just dudes that, like, dudes who we know are good at fantasy, guys like Siege and, you know, Curtis Patrick and Danny Kelly and, you know, Scott Barrett and stuff, like, you know, good players. And these guys are taking Marvin Harrison over Caleb Williams. I'm not saying those guys specifically, but guys in those types of leagues. Was not anticipating that, but Caleb Williams has gone second in all three of these that I've done. Malik Nabers has gone three, I think, in all of them. And then Jade Daniels has gone four. And after that, it becomes a question of, okay, Roma Dunze, and then in tight end premium, Brock Bowers comes into play there. But it feels like people, you know, they're letting J.J. McCarthy slip a little bit. Drake May is going after J.J. McCarthy. Is that, Cody, is that what you're seeing? Do you think it's weird about the Caleb Williams stuff in Superflex? To me, I mean, I think on the cheat sheet is built in, like, you can take the choice between Marvin Harrison Jr., who, even though we had Malik Nabers higher as far as draft capital, as far as how we viewed him pre-NFL draft, we did say in the pod last week, we anticipated this maybe happening, right, with Marvin Harrison Jr. going to the Cardinals and Malik Nabers going to the Giants, where we just have a little bit of an issue there, not with the projected target volume, because that's awesome, right, Cody? And we sit at the player profile house with all the dudes, you know, trying to run their live projections and stuff, and they say, well, you can't ignore the target volume. And I just say, well, I feel like we could be on a – 2-year plan here to get Malik Nabers his quarterback, and there could be a lot of systemic risk there. So we put Marvin Harrison Jr. ahead of Malik Nabers. Marvin Harrison Jr., Caleb Williams at the very top. What are you doing in Superflex?
I have them almost back to back to back in Dynasty, with Garrett Wilson just sandwiched between Caleb and Marv. I did go ahead and bump Marv over Malik for obvious reasons. Although as a prospect, I like Malik more, razor thin in drafts. And I've only been in one. Caleb did go 101. My question would be, because I saw Scott Barrett tweeted as well. He said he's in seven leagues and Marv went first overall in five of them. Superflex.
I mean,
is, like, in the leagues you're in, have you looked at the team that's at one? Like, is that team set up win a quarterback? Do they, are they missing the one piece of receiver? That's always like my thought, because usually that 1-on-1 team is, you know, dog water. So it's like, is it a team that's just trying to add a piece and they're going to come back and they can trade for quarterback? Cause that's not an easy thing to do in Superflex, or what's the thought there?
Well, I can tell you in the, so I just made a pick in one league. So maybe I'll just tell you about the, about this one. So let me go here to this and just look at his roster, the guy that passed on. So he has, so his quarterbacks are, no, he only has one quarterback. He has Joe Burrow. Yep. He has Joe Burrow, Davis Mills, Nick Mullins, Trevor Siemian, and Easton Stick. He does have, he's a rebuilding team. And with Caleb Williams went third with this dude, actually, crazily at that third. So he picked up Marvin Harrison Jr. at three. He picked up Malik Nabers. He had another pick at five. He picked Roma Dunze. He's picking here at seven again. And I'll bet you he takes JJ McCarthy here or Drake May here. He might have figured that there weren't, because he would have looked at my quarterbacks. He would have seen, you know, I think in that league I have Anthony Richardson, Matthew Stafford, and Dak Prescott. It's like, I'm not, there's no way in a tight end premium with Bowers sitting there, I'm going to go quarterback. So that's probably a bad example. I could probably pull up some of the other leagues.
But it shows you the strategy. The strategy this guy had was that he believed in the receiver rather than the quarterback. But, even coming in, like, we had seen this before. In the mocks we ran before the draft, it was Caleb and these receivers, Caleb and either Marv, probably not Malik, just because of value sake, were going to be league dependent. And that's kind of what I expected coming in. Dynasty Zoltan's another guy on Twitter that's in a ton of dynasty leagues, and they just follow him because it's a piece of advice. He said he's in 13 leagues, zero times has Marv went 1-on-1, zero out of 13. So I think it's going to be league dependent, really, on just team building, what your team looks like, who has the 1-on-1 and things like that.
Trash Man, what do you think? I haven't even talked to you about the draft yet. What's your favorite landing spot for these rookies?
My favorite is probably, well, I'd say I like Jonathan Brooks in Carolina. That's definitely one of mine.
Did you get the feeling that, because we had to have this discussion about Jay Brooks in Carolina versus Trey Benson in Arizona, who should be first off the board? I waffled about it. And on the flight home, I decided it should be Brooks. At first I thought it should be Benson. Cody makes some good points about Benson, about the fact that James Conner, we've been waiting for him to fall off the dustbin for years now. It feels like it's probably in the offing pretty soon. And they clearly drafted Trey Benson to be the player of the future there for them. I think you got to see like the offense better. And I think it's true what Cody says, that if there were an injury to James Conner, you immediately start looking at, you know, Trey Benson is probably a top 10 option. Just give, you know, sub four speed, you know, long distance, you know, like he's the answer to Kenneth Walker in the NFC West. But it's with Brooks. Brooks is the better natural runner. He's just, I mean, I'm going to be so sick with myself if Jonathan Brooks is as good in the NFL as he was in college. And I've seen every game with my own two eyes. And I was like, dude, you didn't pick Brooks. Like, what's wrong with you? So there's also this stuff like from the combine, right, Cody? And that's what I really fell back on, was the quotes from Dan Morgan, the quotes from Dave Canales that just said, look, we're going to run some more, and we're going to run. And that's where our team's based. And that's our ideology. That's our philosophy. We're going to run the football. And we started thinking to ourselves, oh my God, Chuba Hubbard. They're like, you must really love Chuba. You know what I mean? But now I've come to the realization, you know, the one thing that's true is Jay Brooks is just so much better than Chuba Hubbard, right? So much better than whatever that thing resembling
Miles. Yeah, and he's just going to get so many touches in that offense.
He can catch. He's killer in pass protection.
I liked, though, was Keon Coleman in Buffalo.
Yeah,
he was a guy that I liked his landing spot a lot.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that receiving corps is kind of wide open in Buffalo. I mean, you got arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the league, who just lost his premier receiver. I think that I don't really like Khalil Shakir that much. We didn't like him in the process coming into then the draft process the year he came into the NFL. I really feel like Keon Coleman has a shot to do some damage there.
I think Keon Coleman should be here's a question in the chat from Scooby Taylor. Thanks for watching, Scooby Taylor. If you could please remember, man, if you're watching this on YouTube, please give us a like, subscribe to the channel. It means a ton to us. If you're listening to us on podcast, of course, you can always can usually find these on YouTube. But, man, a good rating and a review on your podcast platform would be killer. So he's asking about this. He says he needs help. Should he trade the 112? And he says it's most likely Worthy or Brooks. I mean, I have bad news, and I don't think he's going to be Worthy. The 112 and Marquise Brown for J.J. McCarthy and Elijah Moore. So it's basically just J.J. McCarthy, right? It's basically J.J. McCarthy for a slight upgrade on D.J. Moore from maybe a semi-significant upgrade from Elijah Moore to Marquise Brown. For one, Cody, is there a chance that in Superflex that Xavier Worthy falls to the 112? Because I would see it going. I think that probably, I guess, yeah, in this case, McCarthy will have gone off. Well, no, because you're going to have to get – no. It's going to be – because you're going to have at least the three quarterbacks, probably plus Drake May by then, right? You'll have at least the three wide receivers, Roma Dunze. You'll have Brock Bauer. So that's three, four, and one. Dude – are you telling me that somebody's going to take Bo Nix or Ladd McConkey or something, Keon Coleman over Xavier Worthy at this point?
Because the same thing we saw in the NFL draft, the same exact thing is 137 picks between Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler. And although Rattler may get more opportunity before Penix does, I think that pushes up Nix. Because you know he's probably going to be the starter on day one. He's attached to Sean Payton. He's got his quarterback from college. He's a dump-off king. He's got Audric Estime, who can catch the ball out of the backfield, and Javonte. Like, as much as I'm not a fan of Bo Nix, this was the nuts best landing spot possible for Bo Nix, and I completely could see him going 12th overall. You also have Brooks in that conversation. That's five quarterbacks. That's five receivers. I have Keon Coleman in the same conversation.
Where are these going to be gone?
It depends on your draft. I think I'm in line with Trashman here. I think Keon Coleman would be my preferred target over Xavier Worthy. That's my 4-5 right now. I got Keon Coleman right there.
You have Coleman. I mean, look, Coleman. So you have Ladd under both. You have Ladd under Coleman.
Correct.
Okay, well, I mean, that's not how the drafts are going, and that's not how I think things are going to go. Like, I think Worthy's going to go. I think at that point you're going to have Brooks, Benson, Ladd, those guys, and then Keon Coleman. So I don't think he'll be there. So what I think we're talking – so what you're saying is you – so all right, so Cody's saying he would do it. I think just if you need quarterback, I don't like to be without quarterback in these super flex leagues, right? So if you're in a spot where you do just have, say, like you got one good, you got, say you got Dak Prescott and a bunch of backups, and last year you had to play with, Jake Browning and Tommy DeVito and stuff through the season. I mean, we all sort of have leagues like that, right? I mean, if it's that kind of thing, I think I would take the J.J. McCarthy. He's saying the 108's going. He's got Mahomes, Kyler, and Daniel Jones.
No, see, that's the other rock you have to unturn in this conversation. You have to tell us where your depths are.
Brian Thomas is going, and Brian Thomas is going ahead of all those guys in this league.
So what he's saying in reality is that he has the 108. He's saying the 108 for the 112. 108 in Elijah Moore for 112 in Hollywood Brown. So he's trading back four spots, and he's getting Marquise Brown out of the deal. That's essentially what this, because he's telling us JJ's going 108.
Okay. I mean, I think in a vacuum, I think I would want to take the quarterback in your spot. You have Mahomes and you have Kyler. I think Daniel Jones, who knows? I don't know how often you'll play him this year, but you have Mahomes and Kyler.
I don't see the necessity for that trade.
Like, see if, dude, and if you know that Worthy's going to fall to you and you get the Mahomes Worthy stack in Dynasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, come on, dude. It, like, if that's what you know is going to happen, I mean, I bet you Worthy goes 111. But if he goes 111, then you'll be able to choose between Brooks and Keon Coleman. And I'd, like, that's what I'd rather have, right?
Yeah, I'm probably not doing that trade.
So. In some instances, I would do that trade though. But
with the quarterbacks he has, I mean,
not in his, right? I think we've basically established, right, that Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Brock Bowers, and then JJ McCarthy, Drake May, Roma Dunze are going to go right after them. Cody thinks he's going to, like, this dude's saying on his league, Brian Thomas is going right up in that mix. I know Vlad's going right up in that mix. For me, it's Worthy as the outright four as far as wide receivers, but that's also where I would start considering Jay Brooks and or Trey Benson. If you have a lot of conviction about Benson over Brooks, I think those two are really, really hard to separate. And then after that, I'm just wondering with you guys. So for me, I put Brian Thomas below Keon Coleman just because of the vacated targets in Buffalo. People say 4-6, yada, yada, yada versus a fourth. I don't care. I think Brian Thomas is a little bit more developmental. I've watched Keon Coleman put too many of these dudes in a blender, including Cody's psychopath friend that went to the Cowboys from the combine. What's that guy's name again?
Kalen Carson.
Kalen Carson says
but if you interview him today, Kalen Carson's going to tell you he didn't give up a single yard. So that's all that matters.
He calls himself the human seatbelt. I call him the human blender. Now we're getting to like the 112, the 201, stuff like this. How soon can you start looking at any of these other running backs when we start getting to the Adonai Mitchells of the world, the Ricky Pearsalls of the world? And Superflex, does Bo Nix come into consideration here? Cody, what are you thinking?
For me, it's the 203. I think the Brooks thing, you can take him anywhere between the 12, 201, 202, 203. And then I think it's Benson. I think there's a tier break there, but part of me wants to keep Jalen right up in that conversation in Miami, even though it's going to be a fade for me.
It's got to be a tier, but I think it'll be a tier. If it's a fade for you, that's a tier break. We have to put a tier
The problem I'm going to have with this running back position, and I know this is not the 202, 203 spot, but it is that tier break goes down to the end of round two. I have my board tiered by rounds. Guys, I think our second round pick. So I have Jonathan Brooks as a 112, 201 guy where I think he should go. Not saying that's where he will go or is going. Benson about that 203 spot. I could see Jalen Wright about 204, 205. And then for me, it's a big, big, big tier break down to Audric Estime at the end of the second round.
What about Corum? What about Corum?
I'm not there.
You're not anywhere.
I'm not there on Corum.
Why?
I'm not close. I'm out on Corum. The situation is,
I mean, it's pretty bleak behind Kyron Williams there.
It
might be, but we haven't seen the Corum that we saw 2 years ago. He's 23 and a half years old. He's not what he was when he was 21 and a half years old. That's before the ACL. He's going to go there, and I think Kyron's going to beat him out head up, and they've shown us that they're willing to bring in these old heads to play. They still got Ronnie Rivers. They're like just these donkeys that we don't like or respect that I think can come in and give you more juice than what Corum's going to give them. And they need juice. This isn't a team that's just going to be able to maul people and run people over like Michigan can. This team's not built like that. The offensive line isn't strong like that. They need people that are fluid out of the backfield with juice. And I don't think Corum has any of that.
Can we at least agree on this? Can we agree on this much? That these 15 players should be taken by the 203. Can we just talk about this? These 15 players should be gone by the 203. You can put them in whatever order you want. I think I have the order right. Cody thinks he has the order right. Whatever. You probably think you have the order right. I think I'm right. Okay. But there are two running backs between the 101 and the 203. But I have them set to go at basically the, not the turn, but at the end of round one, right? 111 to 201 kind of stuff. That's Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson. The wide receivers that should probably be off by the 203 are Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, and Brian Thomas Jr. The quarterbacks that should be off by the 203, I think we include Bo Nix in this.
Yep.
So the four, right? Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. I'd rather have McCarthy than May. And then Bo Nix, and then Bowers. And so all the, I think those are the 15 that should be going by the 203. I think at the 204 and Superflex tight end premium is where things start getting real hairy, and you start saying, like, you know, Cody says Jalen Wright comes into perspective. I think Blake Corum should be considered around then. Adonai Mitchell should be considered around then. Ricky Pearsall, Roman Wilson, this kind of player.
Is Penix dead in your opinion? Like, are you just completely out on this? I understand, like, it's a waiting game as far as value goes in Superflex, but is it, like, I don't even want him on my roster? Like, when you're thinking about what Penix does have, and rationally, if you think about it, yeah, sure, it should be 3-4 years, but Kirk's coming off of an Achilles, and I think when you get to the range of 2-4, 2-5, 2-6, I personally have Penix right on that fringe right there. For me, he's the 15th player, not Brian Thomas.
Well, but Brian Thomas is going to go. He's going to go.
No, yeah, no, I know. But I get that. Yeah. He's right there. But what I'm saying is, like, I would rather have Penix in my portfolio than have Brian Thomas in my portfolio. I want that quarterback in Superflex that's attached to weaponry. And as much as I don't think Atlanta is competent, we're talking about Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles.
I understand. I understand. I almost called you trash, man, because you're using the same kind of idiotic circular logic. Like, the point is not trash, man, Cody. The point is the way that the cheat sheet's built right now for our roster watch users, you're not going to get Brian Thomas. I'm just saying he's going to go top 15 picks.
That's fine. He's right. I don't want him.
And so I get, you're not going to get him if you use the cheat sheet. Is it right? You're not going to get him.
Bury him.
But I think that. I think that he's going to be gone, and we want to be able to leverage ADP to where the guys that we would maybe want to take over him, like I want to take Adonai over him. I want to take Ricky Pearsall, this kind of guy, but they're going well after him. And there's an opportunity that you can be able to get somebody, you know, somebody that we like better than Brian Thomas. And then to forego on that kind of thing and just make sure to move him down versus his ADP provides the leverage to where you can get that other player later, as opposed to having to reach for, say, a Roman Wilson that, you know, if we wanted to put him in at the ahead of Brian Thomas or Michael Penix, if you want to put him ahead of Brian Thomas, no one's taking those guys at the 203. I think in tight end premium, where you start looking at Michael Penix, is where the second tier of tight ends goes off the board. And to me, that tier is however you stack it up between Ben Sennett and Jatavion Sanders.
Where at?
That around the two, I think Sennett and JT Sanders should be going around the 209.
Okay. I thought you said 203. I was like, wait, what?
No, I'm saying you don't 209, the range for Ben Sennett, Jatavion Sanders, Michael Penix, and to a certain degree, we're a little bit lower on Xavier Leggett than probably most people are, Roman Wilson, right? Before we get down to the next group of running backs that when you can consider cross-positionally between the running backs, the New England guys, like the New England guys, the Marshawn Lloyds, the Shipleys, the Ray Davises, these kinds of players, right? I think that Sennett and Jatavion Sanders and tight end premium should probably be off the board before we begin considering those guys with everything else they have ahead of them. Trashman, do you have a thought about Marshawn Lloyd and Green Bay and how you compare him vis-a-vis Ray Davis with his landing spot in Buffalo?
I mean, I almost like Davis slightly more.
Even though the Packers can get out of the Josh Jacobs contract after next season, if they wanted to.
I I mean, if you want to win now, I think Davis has a better chance of getting on the field early and often for the Bills. I don't think James Cook is a bell cow back. I think that I really at some point could be interchangeable.
These slow drafts, man, right after the start of this morning are just like, none of mine have gotten to this point yet. I think that Lloyd's going to go ahead of Davis. Don't you, Cody?
I think he will because of what you just said and the attrition that backfield looks like. A.J. Dillon's still there, but I don't even know if he makes it through training camp if Marshawn looks competent. And they've said they liked Marshawn as a weapon. And Jacobs has been pretty healthy. But I don't think they run him into the ground. I don't think they want to. I think this is going to be more of a play-action football team with these nice receivers, these nice tight ends, building offensive line. They know what Jacobs can do. I think Marshawn's a great compliment. I mean, he's a similar prospect to what Zamir White brought to the table a couple of years ago. And Jacobs had to deal with that. He kind of just he pretty much covered him in the sheets and he never saw him. So I'm a little worried from that aspect, but I think Green Bay will utilize both guys because they're a smarter franchise than the Raiders are. And they want to keep both these guys healthy all year. I'm in that tier, dude. But for me, I kind of like Audric Estime over both those guys.
Oh no, we can't be doing that. I mean,
Javonte Williams' contract is up after this year.
And Sean Payton said that you know, like he says that Estime profiles as a first and second down runner. I don't like to hear that.
And he was the best player on the board and missed tackles forced. And Javonte Williams is a free agent at the end of the season. Javonte Williams hasn't had a 1,000-yard season. Javonte Williams has been hurt. Both guys can pass catch. They're drafting Estime. What are we've taken the same avenue, and I know Javonte is better than Miles Sanders and Chuba Hubbard, but we've taken the same avenue with Jonathan Brooks and saying that, you know, if they can get out of Sanders' contract, Chuba's going to be gone. Audric Estime is the same speed. He's just as fast as Javonte is. Javonte's not that fast. He ran the 4.62. And Estime is the guy that they brought in to tie with this quarterback and this receiving core and this offense going forward. I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty bullish on Audric Estime right now. And they say he's a first and second down back, but we know he can catch ball out of the backfield. So
you can be bullish on him and take him in the third round.
Exactly.
I'm not top 24 picks.
I got him as my 25th player, so he's right there.
Okay, so
but I'm just saying that's the
looking at these from the perspective of the cheat sheet more than perhaps.
Well, yeah, it's our flagship product.
I'm just explaining the rationale.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So
I'm just telling you where my fourth running back is at. That's the bottom of it. You're talking about Marshawn Lloyd and Ray Davis, two guys that I don't even have in the top 24. I'm saying Audric Estime is the fourth running back for me, and he's not in the top 24.
Let me tell you this. I don't think that Ray Davis will go in the top 24. We do not have him priced in the top 24. You guys, I want to hear from each of you guys. And you can go to rosterwatch.com. You can follow the three simple rules at the top of the sheet of paper. You will get – it'll be an expert quality draft, as always, guaranteed, because the cheat sheet's magical and mystical and mythical. And it'll be changing. I might go to version 1.1 later today after I get through a few rounds of these drafts. Tell me which player. I'll tell you the players that need to go in the top 24 of Superflex tight end premium, and you tell me which player I've left off and why. Okay, are you guys ready?
Yep.
The running backs that should go off the board, I say, are Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, Jalen Wright, Blake Corum. Okay. The wide receivers that should go off the board are Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Xavier Worthy, Ladd, and then these can be in whatever order, right? Should go Xavier Leggett, should go Roman Wilson, Ricky Pearsall, Adonai Mitchell, Brian Thomas, Keon Coleman. Okay, the quarterbacks that should go right at the tail end should be Penix. Nick should go somewhere in there. Then, you know, J.J. McCarthy, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. So that's six quarterbacks. Three tight ends should go: Brock Bowers, Ben Sennett, JT Sanders, and tight end premium. Who have I left off, Cody?
Corum, I think you're right. He'll go top 24. I don't agree with it. Leggett, same thing. What they've shown us in this offense, then they keep drafting these guys in the top 40. It makes no sense. I don't think they want him to be the X, so I'm very not bullish on Xavier Leggett there. The one player that came to mind that you left off that should be fringe top 24, whether he's 22 or 27 for people, I don't care, is Theo Johnson at tight end, who was a fourth-round pick for the Giants. They brought in Malik Nabers. They're spending capital on Tyrone Tracy. They brought Theo Johnson in. If Darren Waller is officially retired, we need to take Theo Johnson serious. You love Theo Johnson. I love him at Theo, the as well.
Are people going to athletic? People can take Theo at the beginning of the third. If they are, I'll move him up. I don't think they will.
I think, but he needs to be in that. He needs to be in the conversation. We don't know where the ADP is going to be right now. We're like literally the drafts have just begun. We'll see where it becomes, but I think he needs to be closer to that grouping of Sinnott and Sanders. Another receiver that I'm tough. I'd love to hear some thoughts from Trashman and yourself about this receiver, because I don't want to hear your thoughts actually, Alex, because I know.
Don't take him.
But I want to hear Trashman's thoughts, and that's Franklin, just because he's tied.
That's the guy I was going to throw in there. I knew you were going to say that.
What do you do? What do we do with him? What do we do with him? Because it's like he's not that great, but he's got the quarterback, and the situation's just wide open.
Yeah, the situation's there for him. You know, we love the offense that he could be in, the potential of the offense that he could be in.
Just tell him why you like the potential. Tell him why you like the potential of the Broncos offense with Bo Nix. You're saying that there's the college connection between Bo Nix and
all he has to do is be better than Jerry Judy, and Jerry Judy sucked.
Right.
That's what he has to do.
And Jerry Judy's not there. And
the connection's on day one. Like
we know that for whatever reason they don't like Marvin Mims that much as a starter. I still don't know why. I still don't understand exactly why they use him as sparingly as they do. The connection with Bo Nix, the offense that they're going to be running. It just all the pieces are in place for Troy Franklin to be at least, I mean, potentially be the number two receiver in that offense come season start.
Oh, and that's exactly what I'm always shooting for is the number two wide receiver in an offense with the rookie quarterback that we have the most questions about. Thanks a lot, Trash Man.